Hey friends, welcome to Real Stories of Life with God, a podcast with a pretty explanatory title, because that's what we're here for. A conversation with real people about their unique life with God. I'm your host, Chelsea Eubank, and I'm so glad you're here. Let's jump into today's episode.
Oh, babe. Okay, anyway, besides the point, thank you for coming all the way out. It's wonderful. Okay, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about you.
All right, I'm Tamara. I am married to Andy. We've been married 5 years this past October. And we have a little boy, Morris, who will be 2 in December. We have a little dog, miniature Dachshund Cedar.
Have you talked to Andy into getting another one yet, or was that squashed by the baby? I feel like at one point it was like, we should get another one. And then, friend. Nope, never again.
He's not getting a friend now. He's got Morris.
So funny. Okay, I'm going to read the verses from Matthew 22. They kind of prompted two of these questions. Jesus is asked which commandment in the law was the greatest, and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. So my first question for you is, what currently stirs your love for God?
So I would say that just the sovereignty of the Lord in my life through motherhood in particular. Motherhood was not easy. The journey to motherhood was not easy. So, you know, we went through being ready to start a family, pregnant, and having a blood clot in my leg, which led to a miscarriage and a medical diagnosis that we didn't know existed. So then, you know, moving past that and, you know, having another miscarriage and being like, okay, well, getting pregnant with Morris and then him coming very early. My whole journey to motherhood, becoming a mother, it's just been, you know, the Lord has just stirred in my heart how wonderful he is, how sovereign he is over our life, and how sweet it is to be a mom. And just, it's just really special to me. So
a friend of mine said recently that if we're going to trust God's sovereignty, we also have to trust his sovereign responses.
Right.
You know, that may not make the most sense to us or even be what we want. The fact that he is sovereign also means we have to trust his responses to things that we ask for. So it's a very challenging place to be. But I don't know, maybe there's a perspective in if it opened me up to more of him, then maybe it was an okay thing.
Right, right. Like it started out kind of like as a motherhood going through a valley and the Lord bringing us out of that valley, you know, through the miscarriages and the blood clotting diagnosis, you know, that now...
Still part of your life, yeah.
Right. And it's where we are today. It's grown our faith. So. Mm-hmm. And how the Lord uses those valleys to teach us how sovereign he is over our life.
Yeah, it's big. Okay, so what currently stifles your love for God?
So what stifles, I would say, is from personal experience, the wanting to know the why instead of focusing on the how. And what I mean by this is from my personal experiences, I had Morris at 27 weeks and I had a traumatic birth experience and not getting to hold him for 8 days and him living in the NICU in a box for 79 days until we brought him home. I focused so much on why that happened. Like, why was this happening? You know, why? And taking my focus off of what the Lord wanted me to know is how can I use that experience to grow my faith in him and how I can help others through my journey. And so it took me a good, I would say a year of Morris's life from replaying the week up to his birth in the hospital and then his birth and him in the NICU, just lost my focus on the Lord, what he was teaching me during that time. So I would say, you know, focusing on the why is very stifling from taking my focus off the Lord and him wanting me to know that how am I going to use this in my life and to show others, you know, the love of the Lord through that.
It's so easy, you know, just add, you know, it's so easy to get, I don't want to say stuck, but it almost feels just like a swirl. It's like a tornado, you know, it's like fog.
Yeah.
You know, like I want to see clearly, but what if I can't ever see clearly why? Then what am I supposed to do with the why? Do I just stay stuck? It's like I can't, and maybe that's what he's like trying to give you a lifeline out of the quicksand. You know, the quicksand is the why because we may never know, which is so
Yeah, I would, you know, just replay it. I feel like every night I was telling Andy, every night I would take a shower. You know, you're thinking times in the shower mm-hmm. and just replay everything in my mind. Like, why did this happen? Why did it happen mm-hmm. like this? And finally, I just started praying, Lord, take it away. Take that mm-hmm. that pain of that away and let me learn from it and grow mm-hmm. from it and teach others, you know, and connect with other NICU moms, which mm-hmm. I did, you know, that I could show them the love of the Lord through that. Mm-hmm. Another thing that taught me about focusing on that how was there were two people actually from my church, that two women that reached out to me during that time that had, they're older, they have their kids are, you know, middle school and older. And some, two of them were grown, reached out to me and shared their story with me. Mm-hmm. And I could not get my head wrapped around how they were over it, you know, even mm-hmm. those years later, you know, how they had found their, you know, how the mm-hmm. Lord's grown them. They're sharing their story with me. And one of them had not shared it before.
Wow.
And so it was really sweet that after I came out of like a fog, like you said, of being stuck for mm-hmm. that first year of his life, December of 2020, I just came out of it, you know, mm-hmm. so, but hearing those other ladies' wisdom helped me through yeah. that too.
Yeah. And now you can do that for other people. Right. You know, whenever you get to those places, right. whenever God brings that to you.
Yeah. So one really, really sweet thing that we haven't shared a lot with people is through the whole situation, you know, having Morris early, the day we found out, you know, I've been in the hospital, the day we found out, I actually had signed C-section consent papers. Mm. The nurse had left the room, which Andy and I are in shock. We're crying or whatever. The next person that came in the room was our pastor. And it was like the Lord knew what we were going through. And then sent our pastor in to pray over us. Mm-hmm. It was the next person that walked the room less than 30 seconds later after our life just like changed. Mm-hmm. So it was really, really sweet.
Yeah, it's really sweet. And a good reminder that even in something that feels very out of control, he's like, he sees me, mm-hmm. you know? He's there. He's with us even if we would not want it to go this way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very sweet. It's
yeah, and cool. He prayed for his salvation there. And at the moment, yeah. I was like, pray for his salvation. And it just hit that I'm about to have this little baby. He's yeah. praying for his salvation. You know, so it's really super sweet. Cool.
That was sweet.
But the Lord's timing has so much meaning behind it.
It really does. Okay. The truth that God is blank means a lot to you because blank.
Okay, the truth that God is in control mm. means a lot to me because there's no way I have control. And I was talking about, you know, just what I said earlier about motherhood and being pregnant and not knowing I was going to have a baby mm. at 27 weeks. I'm so not in control, you know, not mm. controlled day to day. And knowing that the Lord is in control and has been in control the whole time, and he, you know, he knew it was going to happen. He carried us through those valleys mm. and, you know, on the mountains. So mm. just knowing that he is over our life and he's the one that's loving us and in control is just really, really sweet and comforting.
Mm. Something else another friend recently said, she said this on the podcast, in her podcast conversation, was like a lot of people, when hard things happen, they want there to be a reason. Mm-hmm. That, like we were talking about with the why. And some people say, well, there's just not a reason. It's just hard. You know, it's like God has an overarching plan, which I really am encouraged by your how versus why question, because God can use anything, mm-hmm. right? Like any hard or good thing to draw me closer to himself. And maybe it comes down to me believing what's best for me, because more of God is always what's best for me.
Right.
And if that uncomfortable thing or that hard thing or that painful thing is what he uses to draw me closer to himself, then accepting that brings a lot of peace, accepting that nature of him, that side of him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. One really sweet thing out of, you know, this question and the control piece that I have actually laughed about and not told Brett and Nicole about, as Brett was on one of your previous episodes, was Brett was our small group leader at the time. We were pregnant with Morris and y'all were in the mm-hmm. group. And he was encouraging everyone to share their testimony. You know, each week yeah. we'd have someone share a testimony. And I kept saying, you know, no, I'm not ready because this pregnancy is part of my testimony. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thinking, laughing now, the Lord was probably laughing. I thought I was going to have a paragraph to add to my testimony and not like a whole book to add. And how much, you know, I always had that thought when he said, encourage people to share our testimony. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you know, I'm not.
this is, I mean, he's writing it. And the Lord is always writing our testimony. This is, there was a huge part, if you know, my testimony, Andy's testimony, our family together. But that, you know, what we thought was in control of, we're going to have this baby and everything's going to be fine, just normal little birth. And then what the Lord knew was coming and how it would grow us in our love and faith for the Lord. And so I think that's just the control, thankful in the Lord, realizing, you know, the Lord is who's in control. Mm-hmm. And he has control over our life.
Yeah.
And whatever he does in your life, that's how he wanted it for you. Like, you know,
yeah.
No, we didn't have a full-term baby, but that there was no other way Morris was going to get here. Like, that's was his story in the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, Morris is going to be born at 27 weeks, and that's his story. There is no other version that Morris is born full-term, you know.
Right.
So that's the Lord's story for him and us through that. Mm-hmm. So there is no other version in our mind. You know, we think this could have gone another way.
Right. And this was the wrong way.
Right. There is no other. It's that's the Lord wrote that and that's how it is, you know, so.
Okay. Our last question is, what is something you're looking forward to?
We are looking forward to Morris's second birthday. We always, you know, this is only the second time he's been home Christmas, because first Christmas we were in the hospital. So December 13th is a special day for us, of course. And so we're looking forward to the holidays and being at home with him and, you know, seeing Christmas through his eyes and all this stuff. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Because something that, for listeners that don't know you personally, he's doing great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's healthy and
thriving.
Classic two-year-old boy, you know, like doing really great.
Yeah.
Which is a wonderful thing. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweet.
Good chatting with me. It was great.
Thank you.
Listening friends, it means a lot that you added us to your day today. Thank you so much. Wherever you find yourself on your journey with Jesus, I hope you finished this episode with your faith cheered, refreshed, or strengthened. Until next time.